Pedro Cosa, your Deputy Head of Data Analytics at Channel 4, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. You're going to come across to Belfast in June for the Big Data Breakouts Conference. When we kind of think of TV, we think of Barb, kind of overnight figures with share and reach and maybe a bit of kind of audience survey stuff, but it's got a whole lot more sophisticated, hasn't it?
Yes, I mean, TV in itself as a medium has changed very, very, very dramatically in the last few years. And as a medium changing, obviously, Barb in terms of measurement has changed, but also, more importantly, is the way that people are consuming content. And that's what is really driving the big change. Mm-hmm. Content is available across many different platforms and across many different formats. TV is still really big, and it's still, you know, live TV is still mm-hmm. really, really big, but, you know, especially young audiences, and those audiences are more kind of likely to watch Channel 4, are adopting new ways of consuming content, which is what is making ourselves, and, you know, the channel to transform, and the whole industry to adapt to new times.
And the availability of video on demand, whether it's all 4 or stuff embedded on websites. I can even see Jon Snow is kind of doing a lot of stuff kind of with Facebook at the moment. Those platforms are much better instrumented than the kind of box in the corner of the room. You get a lot more data feeding off those to tell you how we're watching and how long and for which bits and whether we look like we're engaged or not.
Exactly. I mean, it's a big change. I mean, to us, we've been saying this for a while. We are changing from a broadcaster perspective, which is, you know, one to many. You know, we were just broadcasting to as many eyeballs as possible, to a one-to-one relationship. We are now entering in this world where you can really engage on a one-to-one basis with each one of your viewers, which is a massive difference. And obviously, digital media, as well as data, is the oil that is going to be greasing everything up.
The viewers, since their data is important to you, it's also important to your advertisers and to, I guess, program makers to an extent as well. How is the data starting to actually change how Channel 4 works or how Channel 4 makes decisions? Well,
Channel 4 has always been very, very open with and ambitious with data. So we wanted the data to be used across the channel. So not just for pure commercial purposes, which in itself has got a massive advantage. But, you know, across every single part of the business, we've been trying to investigate how can data can help. And to do that, we've been just creating a structure where we are just not understanding from our perspective, but also understanding how the business works, you know, what the processes are, how decisions are made, different processes and decision making, you know, happens across the business. So where there we can identify where the opportunity is. So we've been using this for obviously commercial and ad sales. This is a very, very direct relationship. But then we also been using for marketing decisions. So when I say marketing, is promoting our own content. Mm-hmm. So Channel 4 has to really promote new series, new episodes, something that is going to be showing tonight. This is something that Channel 4 has to keep spending mm-hmm. some resources that we have, and then we're using data to really target again, you know, our marketing efforts and be more effective in the way that we spend that budget. But we're also using this for kind of enhancing the relationship with our viewers. So we have now about 13.5 million registered viewers, and that is 1 in 2 of the UK population 16-34, which is our target audience. So kind of mm-hmm. it's a massive base that we can really try to manage in the sense that we want people to become more active.
So those are people who've registered on all 4 or one of those kind of various different channels that are around that. Yeah.
Exactly. So you normally you have to register to watch long-form content mm-hmm. on the most popular platforms, and then is where we capture all your behaviors. We capture, you know, personal details, the ones that you want to share with us. Obviously, there is a very tight business promise, as we call it. So give control and trust, you know, to our viewers, and then people know what we're doing with the data. They can really opt out, they can really delete all the records as soon as they mm-hmm. want. If they haven't been around for 2 years, again, we automatically delete all the records. So that's a very clear and transparent engagement with them. when the data is being used to give better recommendations, to try to understand, you know, why they behave that way, and those who are behaving the way that we want, you know, how can we replicate those behaviors to those who are not mm-hmm. as much active or have just lapsed and not come back to us. We're trying to also help the creative side of the business. Is the most challenging bit, but still trying to do some proof of concepts to really prove that data can really help them making better decisions. So yeah, very ambitious, and you know, very, you know, it is all new. No other broadcaster has been doing much of this, so we have to reinvent everything.
There's a danger with big data that you have so much data but actually so little information. I used to see this from probably an IT point of view, kind of looking at kind of data center performance, and the amount of figures that come off the back of servers is astronomical, but actually even drawing a graph of it doesn't start to tell the story of, well, what's the trend? Is it always like that on a Sunday night? You have similar problems, I'm guessing, because actually with millions of streams of people's information coming through and so many different kind of incomplete sets, it must be tricky to actually figure out what it is, what you want to learn from it.
It's challenging in two ways. The first way, I think, is more relevant to us more than any other business or our industry, because TV is very creative. TV and data doesn't come together, mm-hmm. or at least in the last few years, in the last decades, data and TV is something that is kind of totally apart. We are talking about, you know, the clash between art and science. Mm-hmm. And it's more radical here because, you know, data hasn't been used in the same way as maybe banks or retailers or telecoms. Mm-hmm. Data was something that, you know, was maybe preventing creativity. And you know, obviously, it's a challenge for us to really being able to engage with the business and really convince them that, you know, data can really be useful for the kind of things that they do. That's the first thing. The second thing, I think, is more related to big data in general. To your point earlier, is more... We have really, really agreed on a particular way of working with data, which is always starting with a business challenge. What is it that we want to fix? What is it that we want to change? What is it that we want to, you know, to have an impact on? Mm-hmm. And that will be the way that we start generating a new project, more than just trying to find new opportunities in the data. It's very, very, very difficult. So it's more kind of what is it the challenge that you have? What is it that you want to fix? Do you want to create a new audience? Do you want to, you know, make your marketing spend more efficient? Do you want to make better scheduling decisions? And from that business challenge, then we go back to the data and see how we can help.
Is there a danger that kind of serendipity and those kind of random things that used to happen when people weren't kind of driving their stuff from spreadsheets, that some of that is lost? And I'm sure the creatives, that's the tension for them, that they want to run kind of Channel 4 News right up against something that's completely different, just to see if you get a kind of a totally new audience for an entertainment show or something. Those moments
that
could
that
be lost.
I mean, one thing, you know, one specific area that we are trying to solve this problem is in recommendations. Mm-hmm. As with the most popular kind of video on demand services, we have a lot of content that, you know, is almost impossible to navigate. So and because we are a public service provider, we're a public service broadcaster, mm-hmm. we have this public remit to fulfill. And for us, it's not just about, you know, generating more views, mm-hmm. And getting more money. It's also trying to fulfill that remit. So that means we wouldn't be using normal recommendations to maximize the number of views or maximize the, you know, the revenues or the mm-hmm. return. Because that leads you to this kind of a vicious circle where you will be promoting more and more Made in Chelsea will become bigger, and therefore you will be promoting more Made in Chelsea. We want people to watch Made in Chelsea because we generate more views and advertising revenues, but also we have to have this serendipity sort of aspect on things. We want people who may be concerned about drugs, obesity, teenage pregnancy, immigration, Syria, migrants and things like that, we want these people, as long as it's relevant to them, to be surfaced that content, which would be a niche and a small program, but it wouldn't be, you know, surfacing in a kind of a more kind of optimization mm-hmm. perspective. But I think it's for us, for our kind of public service remit, is really, really important. That's why we're producing and generating our own recommendations in-house. We're not buying it from external providers. We just tweaking, building them, customizing them to our own purposes.
Does that mean you end up with a whole kind of crowd of kind of, it's kind of like the IT crowd in a basement somewhere actually doing this stuff because you're doing it internally and you're ending up hosting it and you're ending up kind of doing the tweaking?
We are, as you know, we are a public mm-hmm. broadcaster. So for us, leading this space, training and developing talent in this area is something that we have to do for ourselves, but also for the industry. Mm-hmm. So in a way, we're conscious that Channel 4 may become the powerhouse of big data for TV.
Mm-hmm.
And we are really working with universities like UCL to really create, you know, a flow from people coming from university. You know, we're having a graduate program, we have a PhD program with UCL, sponsoring, you know, masters and PhD students to really come and work for us and then develop that kind of a function within the TV industry in the UK. So yes, everything is happening here, but also it's worth saying, like, it's not in the basement, it's on the second floor, it's in the middle of the, and that's kind of on purpose. We are not seen as a IT service that is kind of a hidden somewhere. We mm-hmm. are in the middle of where things happen, and that's consciously made or decided because we want to be part of every single thing that happens across the channel.
Are there surprises in the data? Are there surprises when you actually look across millions of people, when you look across lots of different streams?
More than surprises, it's things that kind of you didn't know they existed, and then when you see them, they make a lot of sense. So one thing that we've been doing is kind of trying to understand relationships between programs. With data, especially with the video on demand, you can really see how people are self-selecting what they watch, as opposed to a kind of a more linear scheduled mm-hmm. TV where you normally, there's a legacy, you know, you watch something and then if it's something coming on the same channel, you will be just maybe keep watching it. With video on demand, you have to really select what you want to watch next. And then based on those relationships, we have really created a huge universe, a kind of we call it a content universe, yep. a constellation of relationships and how programs start to position themselves according to how people watch them. And we have really generated what we call, you know, micro genres, as opposed to the well-known big genres like drama, factual, entertainment, which is normally given by a person. You know, someone just watches the show, or kind of even, you know, the producers just decide this is going to be a drama.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. Is it going to be a drama comedy? Is it going to be a factual drama? This is kind of a more subjective decision. What I'm talking about is, you know, how you can see the programs placing or clustering with each other. And you can really see, you know, nice micro genres, as we call them, like, you know, maybe teen American drama with a bit of a comedy as a kind of a really, really nice corner. You have in another corner kind of a sex-related programs. And within that sex corner, you have the more healthy sex, which is more related, you know, health, etc., yeah. etc. And more kind of the pervert, sex corner, where, you know, there are kind of more programs related to that. So that's really, really cool. And then you can't really use it to really generate ideas. You know, your base is really into this, and then you may just sense that there is not enough content for this type of genre or mm-hmm. people. And then you have to really start producing and commissioning more stuff around that. That may be more available across all the channels and things like that. So kind of this is the kind of things that are kind of really cool to. I mean, still there's a lot of big process here to understand. You know, what is it that we can do with the data? But mm-hmm. you know, when you start seeing visualizing the data in that sense, it starts, you know, popping up new ideas and potential avenues to explore.
Do you get into kind of the visualization to actually take it out of kind of tabular and graphic? You kind of just straight kind of graph form to. Because I imagine kind of the creatives and the channel controllers and people who actually look at some of this are bored by spreadsheets in a sense, but when you put it onto a screen with lots of bits that kind of move around, it probably grabs their attention a bit more.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, two things there. One thing is, yes, I mean, it's not just that, it's just that we have organized a team around that situation. We have a pure team of data scientists, and a team that we call them data strategists.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are people who are, to your point, you know, people who talk the same language as the business, people who can relate to the business very well, who can really engage with them, who can't really talk and communicate in a visual way, using, you know, pictures and graphs and, mm-hmm. and charts more than just numbers. And that way we have this kind of a middlemen or kind of a business interfacing people who are kind of helping us to really deploy and use data across the business. Mm-hmm. But yes, as part of us, you know, as part of our big data and, you know, the technologies and software that we're using, you know, the visualization is a big part of our data program. We are, for every single project that we do, we have come some sort of deliverable, which is a visualization. And normally these are kind of a more interactive online tools that you can really start pulling, you mm-hmm. know, moving things around. And then, you know, it's really, really cool to start exploring, you know, what the results may want to tell you.
Okay, lastly, you're coming to the conference in Belfast. There'll be people from lots of industries there, and probably media, TV may be the minority in a sense. What will they be learning from you? What are going to be some of your kind of tips that they'll be able to apply to their worlds?
I think we can give the perspective of a new player, a new company starting to embrace data, which is different from the legacy coming from banks, maybe retail, telecoms, where, you know, data was present. They may be just trying to adapt to the new world of open source and you know, starting to use the cloud and things like that. We started 5 years ago, and then we went straight to the new, more progressive tools and technologies. And also how to really embed, you know, decisions and start using big data to really have a big impact on the business. So for us, it's a success story. We became a profit center 2 years ago. So we're not a cost center anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we just have paid off all the investment in terms of IT systems and people, et cetera, and it's a very, very successful story in that sense. On how can we manage to quickly really deliver back value to the business and starting to get to this business impact and transformation perspective that I just told you. We tend to avoid, you know, reporting for the sake of reporting or just, you know, being just happy delivering a report and just placing it on someone's desk. We really want to make data actionable and see the results coming from it.
Pedro, thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you in Belfast.